preserved when all else faded and decayed. A strand of lank blonde hair hung out of that hood. The native locks, some of them at least, had the occasional blonde head, as did the Rus. But what would either be doing here at the great Kurultai on the high dais? The Mongol traditions of their forefathers might be dying away in everyday life, here in the lands that remain to the Golden Horde, but not on this occasion. That was not a place for a slave. Not now. The sight distracted Kildai even in the middle of the great game. Being knocked senseless was the smallest price you could pay for that. But he would swear that something had actually knocked him out of the saddle. Something that felt like a great hand. Katice, Slovenia. Count Mindog had achieved the remarkable. Not only had he escaped Jagiellon and found other, admittedly dangerous, protection, but he had spirited his library away, too. His hostess did read, but she was not fond of research. She drew her power from elsewhere, from a bargain which she still dreamed, foolishly, vainly, that she could avoid paying the price for, eventually. Jagiellon had merely become one with, and been largely consumed by, that which he had sought to entrap and use for power. The powers and knowledge their masters had accumulated in planes beyond human ken and understanding was enormous and devouring. No one could talk Count Mindog into such folly. The written word was less powerful, but drew from far wider sources. He had laid his plans skillfully. Eventually, he would risk another throw in the game of thrones and powers. Besides, it suited his own vanity to believe he could deceive both creatures of outer darkness and fallen angels. He knew that was probably just vanity, but it appealed to him nonetheless. He studied the passage in the small book again. The book was not bound in dark leather taken from some creature of the night, nor written on a fragile parchment of human skin. But it ought perhaps to have been, because the matters explained therein were compellingly evil. Mindog had long since learned that content, not form, mattered. He was glad that this fact had bypassed so many of his peers. He got up from his seat in the book-filled small apartment the Countess had set aside for him. That was a calculated insult on her part, and one that had failed to put him in his place. The books there contained a far wider realm than she herself controlled. The details of this magic, well, he doubted she would read them. But she had a fascination with blood, for obvious reasons. She would not care what came of her experiments, of the lusts generated or the offspring created, but he, Mindog, would control them. The keys to that control were right here in this book. Unlike his former master, the Black Brain, who had taken possession of the Grand Duke of Lithuania, Elizabeth did not care for the less than immediate and proximal things. Power over the rulers of Hungary was sufficient, as long as her comfort and vanity were ministered to. Mindog did not threaten her directly with his machinations, but when she finally paid her price, or if Chernobog finally took on one foe too great or too many, Mindog would be ready. He would return to his lands on the edge of Kievan Rus. The throne of the Grand Duchy was a short step from there. Alternatively, if certain variables came to pass, he might instead become the power behind the throne of Hungary. That would be less satisfactory than seizing power directly in Lithuania, of course, but it might do well enough. Unlike most of those he maneuvered against, Count Mindog had no interest in power for its own sake. He was ultimately a cautious nature,